Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dermatillo Diaries. Today, my guest is a globally recognized individual, Alaskan native and the first Korean American winner. It's the wonderful and beautiful Emma Broyles, aka Miss America 2022. Welcome, Emma.
Well, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, honestly, the pleasure's all mine. I am so, so excited to have this conversation. I remember seeing that night when you were crowned Miss America 2022 and the stuff all over like social and TV and stuff about you talking about, you know, the fact that you have ADHD and dermatillomania. I was just like, wow, like this is like that you really put it on the map there. And I was so appreciative that you took that opportunity to share such a part of yourself that you, I don't know, at one point may not have wanted to share to many people around the world.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it was something that I think was really important to me. And I kind of talked about this in a few other interviews, but I really kind of had this split second standing on stage when I got that on stage question. And I was kind of considering whether or not I thought this would be a good idea, you know, to share such intimate details about my life. But I realized, you know, I don't think that I've ever seen a public figure speak openly about dermatillomania, and not many people even know what it is. Especially mental health issues in general, I think, are typically underrepresented, especially in the media. And I, you know, I took the split second to think, am I ready to share this? And then I thought, you know what? What's the worst that could come of it? Honestly, I don't think that anything bad could come out of this. Maybe I'll be a little bit embarrassed at first, but I think that this is something that should happen. And I've just been really overwhelmed by all of the great responses I've received. And I'm so glad that I ultimately chose to use that platform to speak about mental health.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And thank you so much for taking that gamble and being like, yep, I'm going to do it. That's such a brave thing. The amount of courage that it takes to do something like that on such a massive scale is just fantastic. So thank you again for that. So you got quite a lot of positive feedback from people around you. Is there a lot of people online or even offline that talk to you more about that?
Yeah, you know, so the morning after I won Miss America, I checked like my Instagram message requests, and I had so many message requests from people who have, you know, ADHD or who have dermatillomania. And I noticed there were quite a few messages from people saying, you know, I have dermatillomania and I didn't know that it was an actual disorder. You know, I thought that there was just something wrong with me. I thought that I just had this uncontrollable urge to pick. And there were so many people who were saying that they didn't realize that it was an actual condition, and that they were looking forward to their journey of starting to overcome their dermatillomania. And my brother actually had looked on Google, and because you can see the searches and what times they spike. And right after I won Miss America, the Google searches for dermatillomania like skyrocketed. So I think it was really special for me to know that, you know, something as little as speaking openly about my mental health is able to kind of create this cascade of events and bring awareness to a disorder that not many people are familiar with.
Absolutely. And the word dermatillomania, I mean, it took me a few goes when I first heard of it to say that out loud. And when I mention it to others, it's such a tricky word. It's just like, what is that? Demo what?
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me that there's so many searches straight after you saying it, like, well, what is dermatillomania? A lot of people can be like, derma, okay, my skin.
And then mania, they're like, okay, what?
Yeah, it sounds it's a bit kind of an intimidating word. And then when you look it up, you're like, oh, okay. And then there's so many people that just connect the dots, they look at the symptoms that's listed online, and you're like, wow, okay, that sounds a lot like what I've been experiencing for a number of years. Yeah. So that must have been such an amazing feeling, you getting all of those messages of people that reached out to you, and they must have felt incredibly seen and heard and supported, but also uplifted and inspired, because, you know, on such a high pedestal, you know, Miss America saying, oh, this is something that I experienced too. And obviously, if you're looking, watching on TV, and you looked absolutely phenomenal in your dress and crown and just looked absolutely sensational, for someone to then say, come out with that. And you're like, well, but that's what I experienced. That's what I go through. You know, it was a feeling like no other. So thank you so much for that. I was saying thank you so many times, but it'll be throughout this.
Well, thank you. You know, I think that this disorder is one that comes with so much shame. I think that truly this disorder is embedded in this feeling of shame and embarrassment. I think that a lot of people who struggle with dermatillomania feel this weight on their shoulders, right? Anytime they've just recently had a picking session, they carry it with them, and they carry that weight throughout everything that they do. Cause I know it was the same for me. You know, last year there would be times when I wouldn't leave my tiny little dorm for like a week on end, right? Like I was so ashamed. And then when I would go out, I would be so cognizant of how my skin looked in this light. And if this person was sitting too close to me, if they could see, you know, all of the makeup that I've coated on my scabs to try to cover them. I think it's such a shameful disorder, I think. And which is why people don't frequently talk about it. You know, I didn't even tell my family that I was struggling with this. I didn't even tell my closest friends until after I was kind of coming out of it. And so I think that's another reason why it's so important to talk about it openly, because it makes other people with the disorder kind of feel seen and they feel heard, right?
Yes, totally. Absolutely agree. So I'd love to know a little bit more about your personal journey with dermatillomania, if that's okay, like from the beginning.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I really didn't start kind of dealing with dermatillomania until I was about a sophomore in high school, when I really started to get hormonal acne. When I was little, I would always pick my scabs, right? There would be times when I would go to a camp or something and I'd come back just covered in mosquito bites, but I would pick the scabs just like relentlessly. And I still have scars from picking at those scabs, but it was really starting to kind of pick up once I got into high school and once my acne started to develop. And in high school, it was something that I thought was normal, right? I assumed everybody picked at their skin. But what I didn't realize was that the hours that I was spending in front of the mirrors, you know, coming away with bloody hands and deep divots in my skin were not normal. And, you know, my parents would always be like, Emma, stop picking. And that's kind of how I started to, you know, do these picking sessions in private, right? Like I'd lock myself in the bathroom and turn on the shower as if I were taking a shower so I could have my privacy and do it without anybody else knowing. Because again, it is, there's a lot of shame that surrounds, what you're doing, but it kind of got a little bit better by the time I graduated high school. But then when I started college and once COVID hit specifically, that's when it really started to get bad. And my whole face was just covered in these open wounds. And the second they would start to heal, I would rip off the scab, right? And it was so bad. It was truly, truly horrible. And I had so many spots that just got infected and would be you know, festering for like 2 weeks because I wasn't able to let them heal. And it wasn't until my sophomore year of college, so last year, that I realized that there's a name for this, that, you know, this is an actual disorder and that I'm not just crazy. And then that was when I kind of realized that, you know, there was probably a way that I could get out of this, right? So I joined this group on Reddit. I think it's like, there's a few groups on Reddit that I joined. There's one that was like dermatillomania. And then there was another one that's called compulsive skin picking. And just reading through the threads was kind of very eye-opening for me because, you know, a lot of people are offering advice, things that helped them on their dermatillomania journey. And other people were kind of sharing their frustrations. They'd share pictures of their skin and say, you know, today I picked again for the first time in 2 months, you know, I was doing so well and I'm so upset with myself. And then you'd see all these people commenting and kind of reassuring them that recovery is not linear. And, you know, that kind of being a part of that community meant a lot to me, because I didn't know anybody who had dermatillomania, and I wasn't comfortable to speak to my friends and family about it because I was just truly so ashamed. And, that I honestly don't think that I would have been able to overcome my dermatillomania if it weren't for those support groups on Reddit, of all things. And, you know, I never posted, I never liked anything. I was very much just, somebody who was there just watching, kind of sitting on the sidelines, but just kind of being there and feeling the support, meant a lot to me. And I think that's really kind of what helped me ultimately come out of my dermatillomania.
That's great. It's fantastic that we have these various social areas we can go to, different platforms where these conversations are happening, because if you don't feel confident enough to talk to your loved ones, your close friends and family, teachers, medical professionals, whoever around you that you're usually told to go towards and confide in, it's great that we're now in this this time of living where there are social like support groups online, where we can share and we can read, we can learn, and feel part of a community, feel part of a family, a larger family of people that completely understand, especially with the shame element, as you say, it's kind of what keeps us locked in this cage sometimes, this feeling, these dark feelings of shame and disappointment, frustration and exhaustion and stuff. It kind of keeps you in a loop otherwise. So it's great that you found these communities that you could just take inspiration from, and even just to feel supported and that you weren't, you know, the only one on this earth doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
So what would you say, your triggers towards the compulsive skin picking was? Would you say like, you know, puberty, when your skin was like changing, was there anything like that, or maybe stress from school?
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing that really kind of triggered my dermatillomania was just my acne. You know, especially with dermatillomania kind of being related to OCD, it was kind of this feeling like there's something in my skin that shouldn't be there. And I see this bump, I see this imperfection, and I can feel it with my fingers, and I need it to be gone, you know? And so that's when I would pick and pick, and I'd pick, I need to get it out. And, you know, for a lot of people, dermatillomania manifests in a lot of different ways. You know, some people it's biting and picking at their fingernails. It's for some people, it's picking scabs on their legs that they've, you know, been picking at for years and years and years. For some people, it's their arms, you know? So it totally depends on the person. But for me, it was strictly my face and a little bit my fingers as well. And I really do think that it was my acne, which is why I kind of sat down and I wrote out my triggers. I said, okay, so I need to first get rid of my acne because I think that will really kind of help. And then I need to recognize when I'm stressed, because I noticed that the times when I would have my picking sessions would typically be after kind of like an awkward social interaction or something in my life that's kind of stressing me out. Because when I would be sitting in front of the mirror, you know, for an hour or 2 hours picking, I would be allowing myself to think about those things because I feel like I would repress them and repress them and repress them. But those times when I was picking, I could really think about these things that were stressing me out. And I would have that internal dialogue just like running and running and running, which is why, you know, you get caught up picking for an hour or 2 hours. But yeah, I think that identifying my triggers was definitely the biggest thing in overcoming my dermatillomania. So I went straight to my dermatologist and I sat down with him and I was like, look, I've got some pretty bad skin picking and I need to do whatever it takes to get rid of my acne. And I remember begging him to put me on Accutane, and he didn't want to because Accutane is pretty tough on your skin. So he asked me to trust him and we went down the spironolactone route, and it was frustrating because it took a good like 5 or 6 months for it to truly clear my skin. But once it did, like my dermatillomania almost went completely away. You know, there were still times when I would find myself picking at like literally nothing, because at that point I didn't really have acne anymore. But I think that was kind of the biggest thing that I found in getting over my dermatillomania. But, you know, there's some people who have dermatillomania and it's not related to acne at all. You know, it totally just depends.
Yeah, it's great that you were able to be like, right, rationally, what do I need to do as a next step? to get to the root of the problem here, if the skin picking is obviously a symptom of a wider issue, and you're able
And it's definitely a really hard thing to do. You know, I didn't really want to go to a therapist. I really should have, but you know, there was just so much shame that I felt that I was too scared to ask my parents for help. I was too scared to ask my friends for help, you know, getting set up with a therapist. But, you know, I think that for a lot of people, therapy and seeing somebody who's trained is really, really helpful because they can help you identify those triggers. So I really wish if there was one thing that I could change, I wish I would have gone to see, you know, a trained medical therapist who could kind of help me identify those triggers, because it took me a long time to identify them for myself.
Yeah. I mean, it's great that you managed to get to the root of the causes yourself. I totally agree and recommend, you know, medical trained therapists and professionals. Exactly. And it really is, as I'm sure you'll know, it's not a one size fits all in terms of the road to successfully managing it. And would you say that that's what you do now? It's like you successfully manage it? Or do you think it's like completely gone from your life? Like you don't no longer have those daily kind of considerations?
Yeah. You know, I don't think that these body focused repetitive behaviors are something that you can just completely get rid of. Right. But there definitely is a little bit of a daily battle. So, you know, I have things that I do in my routine now that kind of prevent me from picking. So for example, typically when I get ready for bed at night, and typically when I get ready in the morning, I get ready with the lights off in the bathroom. That way I can't see my skin in the mirror. And I wash my face, I put on my moisturizer, and I always have these hydrocolloid bandages on hand. I use them religiously, as well as I slather Vaseline. If I have any little scabs for whatever reason, I slather Vaseline on them. But you know, there is definitely still a daily battle, despite how great my skin has become since, you know, I've been on so many acne treatments and I've been able to get my dermatillomania under control for the most part. It still is kind of this daily battle, this kind of fight that I'm going that I'm battling with my, you know, with my mind. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. But I think that since I've seen the other end and I know how happy I feel without scabs all over my face, it's that much easier for me to really understand what the consequences are going to be if I were to pick again.
Yeah. And there's some research on about like the dopamine effect, like for many of us when we're skin picking, it's that need for that dopamine spike. And I guess over time, when your skin's looking clearer and you're feeling more confident and you're kind of used to seeing that as your new normal, you will be getting more dopamine from feeling just more confident in social situations. Yeah. And it's kind of like a snowball effect, right?
Yeah. But that's something that I never knew would happen. I thought that I would just be struggling pushing back these thoughts for the rest of my life. But, of course it's so hard to get to that point. And I feel for all the people out there who are listening, who are still at that point where they haven't yet made it out and they haven't yet seen the light of day, where their skin is clear and they know how good it feels to be confident and, you know, to not have to deal with having scabs on your face and open wounds. But, you know, to anyone listening who is still going through that, I hope they just keep pushing, because once they get to that point, once they see the light, it feels like this weight is lifted off your shoulders, and it feels that much easier to stop yourself from going back to your old habits.
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. It's doable. And another question I had. So upon entering and partaking in the Miss America pageant, how did you find, like, all, you know, I'm not too sure if you've always been within the spotlight. I know that you're very busy with a number of projects that you work on, and you know, going from Miss Alaska to Miss America and having all these interviews and wearing the makeup, wearing the dresses and these cameras and lights and everything. Like, how did you find, did you find sometimes that the OCD, the dermatillomania, the element of it all, like, did you ever find some discomfort within yourself with this new way of a lifestyle, I suppose?
Yeah. You know, honestly, still when I go out and when I'm with my friends, and we're in, you know, a bright room and we're sitting really close together, I still instinctively kind of scooch back a little bit or turn off the lights if I can, because I still, it's just completely instinctual. Cause you know, that for so long, I was so used to feeling like I had to hide my face and conceal these scars that represented all of the distress that was going on in my head. And so, you know, being in front of the cameras and the cameras being so close, still there was like this kind of part of me that was instinctually like, oh my gosh, getting too close, they're gonna see my scabs. But it was tough, you know. I think that fortunately, at the time of my life that I started competing for Miss Alaska and then Miss America, I had already, for the most part, overcome my dermatillomania. But being under so much stress, and now as Miss America, traveling so frequently, that's when I tend to get acne. And it still takes so much willpower every night. And there's some times when I've slipped up. In fact, when I went home for the first time after winning Miss America, I think that there were so many emotions and I was just so overwhelmed that it kind of manifested in me picking. And I did pick quite a bit when I got home from winning Miss America. And I kind of, you know, locked my doors and hid in my room until I felt like my scabs were healed for the most part. But, you know, it's a constant battle. And anyone who's ever dealt with dermatillomania knows that it's a constant struggle and that your path to success is never going to be linear, right? You're always going to go back to your old ways. But it definitely is hard kind of balancing this lifestyle where I'm always, you know, in the spotlight and meeting people and people can always see, you know, my face up close, and having that moment at night where I really want to pick, but I have to think, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be on camera. If I pick right now, I'm going to hate myself tomorrow and I'm going to be really uncomfortable on camera and it's going to show up, you know. So it is pretty stressful, but I think that this is something that, this is just how life is, right? Anyone with dermatillomania knows that this is just part of life.
Yeah, totally. Would you say that because you have those rational thoughts in the moment where you kind of at a crossroads, like, right, I could skin pick right now. The temptation's there, the urge is there for sure. But I've got, you know, things to do tomorrow, which I'm going to be cameras, lights and makeup and everything, and having that rational thought to reconsider. Have you been able to set any, I guess, like boundaries, anything into your life to make sure that you have some downtime and to kind of manage that workload? Because obviously with you traveling all over the place, like that must be tough sometimes. That must be quite tiring, right?
Yeah. You know, I know that people always say, reach out to your support system, right? Talk to your family and friends when you're stressed, which I do talk to my family and friends a lot about things that are stressing me out in my life. But typically I kind of prefer to just let it out, you know, with a pen and paper. And I actually, typically, since I travel so much and I don't always have, you know, a notepad with me, I keep them all in my notes app on my iPhone. You know, I've got like a locked note and I just write out everything that I'm feeling. Sometimes I even will sit there and I'll record a video of myself just talking out all the things that are stressing me out, the things that are making me excited, any of these emotions that might end up manifesting in me picking. And I think that was kind of one of the biggest things that helped me with my dermatillomania, was learning to release these emotions rather than bottling them up. You know, it's like when people say, you got to let it out. If you feel like crying, don't hold it in, just let it out. You know, it's your body's way of releasing stress. And, so yeah, definitely journaling. If, you know, I know some of my friends have these gorgeous journals and they make it really pretty and it's kind of this art form for them. But for me, you know, it's something as simple as writing it down in my notes app, writing out everything that I'm feeling. And that's a huge help in managing my dermatillomania, especially, is just releasing those emotions. And once you write it down and you see it in front of you, you're like, oh my gosh, this isn't even that bad. I don't know why I was so stressed out about this one conversation I had with this person. You know, it wasn't even that awkward. Or I don't know why I was so upset about this one thing. It's, you know, in hindsight, it wasn't that big of a deal. And so that's kind of one of the biggest things that I found that has helped me.
That's great. And I think what you touched on earlier as well about when you're skin picking and you're kind of playing over in your mind things that you're worrying about or stressing about, I believe that's quite a common occurrence. And I definitely have experienced that where in the moment you feel like you're in a state of presence, like all of your thoughts and worries and stuff are out of your mind, but actually they're not. They're kind of, it's weird. It's like a false sense of security. Like, oh, you know, it just, I only focus on the picking and I just block everything out for a moment, but it's not actually the case. It's like you're in this loop of like overthinking. And so I can totally understand how journaling gets it out there. And so it's not just this loop that's going over and over in your head where that urge to pick is just, you know, building in momentum.
Yeah, exactly. And I even saw somebody had created an app, I believe, for people with, you know, dermatillomania. And because, you know, I noticed that a lot of people who have dermatillomania will say that they're most tempted to pick when they've had an awkward interaction or when there's something that's on their mind that they feel like they can't just sit and think about because it's too overwhelming, right? So they need this kind of this picking while to do while they're thinking about this. And so, you know, I think that this app will say like every time that you have the urge to pick because something happened, you write it down in this app. And then hopefully that release of emotions is enough to stop you from your urge to pick. But exactly, I think that that's something that people with dermatillomania typically tend to face.
Yeah, I do think so. And it's good to write those down. It's good to have those direct questions. I think like, when it strengthens that rational thought process. So when you get those urges, that thought process starts to come a bit quicker and it's a bit louder in your mind. And it's like, right, okay, like, what am I feeling right now? Like, what am I thinking? What are my thoughts? What triggered this? You know, what could I do instead? All these things like start coming in and all of a sudden the urge isn't so high because you've got this self-loving voice coming in saying like, do we really want to do this? Like, you know, there's some better ways at dealing with this that we could try instead. And things like the app that you're talking about and many other things online, the resources are growing year on year, which is great to help those suffering to at least get a better understanding of why they're doing it rather than just being like, I have no idea what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
What I wanted to know as well is what would you say to someone who was struggling with skin picking? Say it was, you know, yourself, a couple years back. I know you'd mentioned in an interview that like the pandemic and the lockdown really affected you. What would you say if you were in the room with your younger self right now?
You know, I would tell her that it's okay to really embrace what you're going through. I think, you know, when at the time that I was going through this, you know, having undiagnosed ADD and dealing with my dermatillomania and finding out really what it is and what it was, I think that it really made me feel like I was at rock bottom, right? Because I wasn't doing well in school. I knew that I needed to get a diagnosis. And I didn't want to talk to my friends. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to leave because I was so embarrassed with how I looked because of how much I was picking. And it was just a time in my life that carried a lot of shame and a lot of humiliation. And when I did finally try to start overcoming my dermatillomania, it took a long time. It took a lot of trial and error. And I remember I took a picture of my skin every single day in this app that kind of puts it together for you at the end of a year or whatever. And you can see like my skin would start to clear. And then all of a sudden there would be one picture where it's just horrible because I was picking the night before and then it would clear and then it was horrible. And so I would tell my past self that your healing is never going to be linear. You're going to fall back to your old ways. You're going to relapse, if you will. And that's okay. That's a part of healing. You can't just quit cold turkey. You're going to have to figure out how to manage your thoughts and your urges, but there's going to be a lot of trial and error. And I think that's kind of the best thing that you can learn is that if you fail once, and if you go back to your old ways, that's okay. Learn from your mistakes, figure out what went wrong there and find a way to learn from it. Because eventually, when you make it out on the other end, you're going to look back at yourself and you're going to feel a lot of pity. But you're going to know that even though it took a lot of trial and error, and even though you went back to your old ways and the road was not a straight one, you made it out, and that's okay.
Such wise words. And I know that was for your younger self, but I think anyone who has struggled with skin picking or any other body focused repetitive behavior who's listening to this conversation can totally resonate with those words. I think, yeah, it's so tricky. And for a lot of people, especially in communities, when we're talking about it, say online, in forums, and there's just no knowing of a cure, and everybody has different triggers, right? There's a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves without knowing about, you know, the how to kind of manage it, understanding your personal journey and what you need to implement for your own for your own sake. But without that, without those steps, it's so easy to be like, and I did this for many years, like, right, as of tomorrow, I'm going to stop. Like, tomorrow is a new day. Right. I'm going to do it. And oh my God, the amount of times I was just like back at square one, like, no, yeah, really this time, tomorrow is the day. And it's exhausting, right?
It is exhausting.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is it's such a healthy way of seeing it, because it's like, look, that's part of healing. Every time you feel like you've went back to square one, no, you haven't. You know, if you've had a few really good days and then you found yourself back at square one, you had a few great days. That's such a win in itself. And it's like,
exactly,
we're just collecting the knowledge of, okay, what worked before? What didn't work so well this time? Okay, make note of that. How can we implement something a bit better this time? And it's just trial and error, right? Like, to get to a point where you just don't feel so under its control. So I think that's such important advice. And thank you for sharing. What I usually like to do when I wrap up a conversation is to hear a quote of yours, if you have one, and why it's your favorite quote, please.
Yeah. And I think that this is a quote that I've loved for a really long time. And I think that it really kind of ties into the conversation we've been having today. It's by Gabrielle Williams, and it goes, "Hard times are good in their own way too, because the only way that you can achieve true happiness is if you experience true sadness as well. It's all about light and shade balance," which I think is a perfect example, right? When you really experience those low points in your life, you can truly appreciate the good times too. And you know that those low points made you stronger, and they made you the person that you are. And they also make you a more empathetic person, I think, as well, which is incredibly important.
Absolutely. I think that's such a powerful quote. Thank you so much. I'm definitely going to make note of that one. So thank you so much for your time, Emma. I've truly appreciated it. And I loved every minute of this conversation. I'm sure it will help so many people hearing your story. You're so inspirational. I'm really, really happy. If somebody wanted to reach out to you, where would be the best place to find you?
So my Instagram, they could find me at Emma Broyles, EMMABROYLES _. They can also find me at the Miss America Instagram, which is just at Miss America. I'm also on TikTok, same thing, Emma Broyles _. And if anybody has, you know, I check my messages pretty frequently, or I do my best to. So, you know, if anybody has any thoughts or frustrations and they feel like they just want to let it out to somebody, I'm here. You know, it's what I love to do. And I've actually been talking to a lot of people who have dermatillomania who've reached out to me, just doing my best to kind of offer my support where I can, because I know how it feels embarrassing to talk to your family and friends about it and people who truly know you. So if you want to talk to a stranger about it, I'm here for you.
Oh, thank you. I'm sure many will, just the same way that I reached out, Emma.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to talk, because I know how isolating it can feel. And I remember feeling like I couldn't talk to anybody. So I want to make sure that I can be that person for somebody else.
Oh, that's so selfless. And, you know, this, I know you provide so many services to so many people. You are constantly going all around the country and then some, and, you know, showing your support in various areas. And so it's really such a selfless act to offer.
It's truly such a unique opportunity too, you know, getting to have the spotlight of being Miss America and the following of Miss America. And using that to speak about things that are important to me is really, really special. So I'm really grateful to even have this opportunity to be here to talk about dermatillomania, to bring awareness to it, and to get to talk to people who have dermatillomania. So this is what I get to do for 1 year. So I'm really want to use as much as I can.
Oh, well,
make the most of it, right?
Absolutely. It's been an absolute honor. Thank you so much, Emma, for your time. And we'll chat again very soon.
Well, thank you.